few years ago, my wife and I were up at visiting family in the state of Maine, and one of the things that I had never been accustomed to were what was called redemption centers. So we drove around the countryside of rural Maine. There'd be signs at these little rundown garages, redemption center, redemption center. And of course, growing up in the church, I was very curious as to what they meant by redemption center, because my concept of redemption was through Jesus Christ, and I thought, wow, is this some place I go to get redeemed from my sins? Well, I soon realized the redemption center was a place where people took their recyclables and dumped them, and where the people received money for the recyclables. As you'll see on many bottles, they'll tell you in certain states you can get a certain amount of money for those bottles. And as we stopped at some of the redemption centers, there were big heaps and piles of empty bottles, empty cans, things like that. But one thing was missing in those redeemed items, in those items in the redemption centers, and that was life. They were just dead objects laying there waiting to be recycled. As I read the scripture this week for Isaiah from chapter 53, I took a big deep breath. Isaiah chapter 53 could probably be taught, spoken on, preached on for a year. There's so much depth and there's so many riches to be mined from chapter 53 of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 53 is a pivotal message. It's one of the scriptures that Bible schools and ministers learn and memorize, scriptures that he was pierced for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. By his wounds were healed. So I took a big deep breath as I dug into this, asking that God would help me so that I could help others in understanding what Isaiah was saying. Because as you look through Isaiah's writing in the book of Isaiah, first of all, you see that much of it is written in poetic form, the way the literature is written. But we also see that it's a prophetic message. Isaiah was sent by God as a messenger to warn God's people Israel, God's chosen people Israel and Judah actually, that they were to turn back to the Lord. Because they had turned away from God, they had allowed pagan worship, pagan religions to come into their community, and as a result they had been turned away from God. And God sent Isaiah to tell them, you need to turn back to me or you're going to suffer the punishment. And God even told them the punishment that was going to come on them. They were going to be taken into captivity by the Babylonians for 70 years. God even told the people through Isaiah that we talked about last week how God was going to redeem his people through the ruler named Cyrus, who was the Persian king. And that happened when Cyrus, the Persian king, conquered Babylonia, where the people had been taken, and then Cyrus released the people and allowed them to go back to the promised land. But there was a mistake made in the Jewish community, and is still an error that we today as followers of Jesus Christ make many, many times. It was the main error that was in the minds of people when Jesus Christ came. And that was the people looked at their redemption as being a physical, geographical, and maybe even political redemption, that they were going to be taken back to their promised land physically. And that this would happen through a Messiah, a political ruler who was going to come and liberate God's people, and they'd have their own promised land and live there in freedom, protected from all the other countries and rulers of the world. And today, so many people sadly still believe that our redemption and our salvation is just simply a recycling or a physical redemption, that in our bodies we're going to die and someday they're going to be raised up, that we're going to live with God forever. This cannot happen until another redemption takes place, another salvation, and that is the salvation or redemption of our souls. So God not only told His people through the prophet Isaiah and tells us today that I'm going to redeem you physically and geographically, I'm also going to redeem you spiritually. So when you read through the chapters of Isaiah, you have to understand and you have to interpret, is he talking about the redemption of his people physically and that he was going to bring them back into the promised land? Or is he talking about the ultimate spiritual redemption of his people? And in Isaiah chapter 53, he's talking about the spiritual redemption of his people. He begins by saying that who has believed our message? To whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? You see, he starts by talking about the power of God. The arm of the Lord is alluding to the power of God. And he says, who has believed our message? And to whom has this power, my power, been revealed? And we start to say, well, what is he talking about and how his power is revealed? What was the message that he's talking about? Well, the message, if you look back in chapter 52, we find is found in verse 8, where Isaiah says, listen, your watchmen lift up their voices. Together they shout for joy that when the Lord returns to Zion, which is Jerusalem, they will see it with their eyes. They'll burst into songs of joy together, your ruins of Jerusalem. For the Lord has comforted his people and has redeemed Jerusalem. What Isaiah was saying in that particular point was, who has believed our message that someday the Lord is coming back, that he's going to redeem his people and everybody's going to see it? So he's prophetically talking about when Jesus comes back. And he says, who has believed our message that the Lord is going to redeem us? And to whom has the power of the Lord's strength been revealed? And he talks about this power of the Lord, the strength of the Lord. He talks about this message by beginning and calling that He. He gives personification to the message of redemption and salvation, describing Him as the Lord's power and strength as He. He grew up before Him like a tender shoot and like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to Him, nothing in His appearance that we should desire Him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering, like one from whom men hide their faces. He was despised, and we esteemed Him not. You see, the message, the prophetic message, was not only that God was going to redeem Israel physically, He was going to redeem them spiritually. And that was all going to happen through someone. And that someone was a servant that God was going to send. Back in chapter 52, Isaiah had said, my servant will act wisely. He'll be raised and lifted up and highly exalted. Just as there were many who were appalled at him, his appearance was so disfigured beyond that of any man, and his form marred beyond human likeness. Just as there were many who were appalled at him, so he will sprinkle many nations. What Isaiah was saying in that chapter was that God's servant was going to accomplish this. He was going to be lifted up, although many would be appalled at him. Although his appearance was disfigured beyond that of any man and his form marred beyond human likeness, just as there were many who were appalled when he comes, he's going to sprinkle many nations. He's going to purify those people. Just as many as were appalled at him, he's going to purify. What this says to the Jew who would have been reading this, when he talks about someone being raised or lifted up, you know, it was appalling to the Jews because in Deuteronomy it said, cursed is the man that's lifted up on a tree. So when the prophets talked about this one being lifted up, this servant of God, the Jewish people would have been appalled at him. But yet God was going to purify them. He was going to sprinkle them, bringing images to the people of the priests going into the Holy of Holies and taking the blood of the sacrifice and sprinkling the mercy seat on the Ark of the Covenant. in an act of expiation where God would remove the sins of the people. Isaiah says, who has believed our message? And to whom has the arm of the Lord, the power and strength of the Lord been revealed? This he, this servant, that has sprouted from, or is an offshoot of the Lord, the Savior, the salvation of our people. Who has believed it and who has seen him? We see the person of the Savior and the servant that God has in his power and strength would raise up a Savior for his people. Isaiah continues by telling us about the work of this servant that God was going to send, the work of saving or salvation. Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows. Yet we considered him stricken by God and smitten by him and afflicted, because to the people, cursed was he that would be lifted up on a tree. But Isaiah was saying, when he was lifted up, he took our infirmities. He took our infirmities and carried our sorrows. You see, the problem with the people was sin and rejection of God. The problem was more spiritual than physical. It was more spiritual than geographical. The result of their turning from God and rebelling against God was captivity. And you see, in the same way, our lives, some of the places we find ourselves are a direct result of our turning away from God and our lack of spirituality, trusting in the Lord. So they needed to be saved from their sinful ways, saved from their sins, and this was and is accomplished in and through the work of God's Spirit, or God's servant. What did he do? He took up our infirmities, our weaknesses, our defects. He took them up, he gathered them, and he carried them. He carried them. He carried them all the way to the cross. He was stricken, he was smitten, struck down by God, and looked down upon. But Isaiah says, he was pierced for our transgressions. This servant that God was going to send to redeem the people spiritually was appalled by the people around him. But yet he took up our infirmities. He carried our sorrows. He was struck down by God, but he did it for us. He was pierced for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we're healed. He was pierced, he was crushed, he was punished, and he was wounded. Why? For us. For our transgressions, for our iniquities, for our peace, and for our healing. And when we read that, we have to understand that Isaiah is implying through the Word of God that he was pierced for our transgressions. Do you know what a transgression is? It's a revolt. A transgressor is someone who revolts. So if he was pierced for our revolting, we have to understand, first of all, we are revolters. And it says he was crushed for our iniquities, which is our perversity and our faults. And the punishment that brought us peace was upon him. In other words, we could know no peace with God because we were sinful. And there had to be a punishment for sin. But that punishment that would bring us peace and assurance that we are in right relationship with God, that punishment was upon him. He took it upon himself. And by his wounds we are healed, implying that we are sick in the first place. So Isaiah was saying to the people and saying to those who would follow when Christ would come, that he, the one who was lifted up and appalled, was pierced, crushed, punished, and wounded because we are revolters. Because we are perverse and at fault with God. Because we don't know peace and we're sick. He came so that we might have all that reversed. The redemption of God's people would come and has come through the servant of God's choosing to bring peace and healing to revolters and those at fault in the eyes of God, Who are the revolters? They were the Israel. And in fact, they are all who reject God are revolters. Remember back in chapter 48, he talks about the people, talks to the people, and he says to them, remember who God is. Listen to what he says. Look forward with songs of joy. He says to the revolting communities of Israel. But see, they hadn't done that. They had forgotten and rebelled against God. The question is, have we? Have we rebelled against God and forgotten God? Isaiah describes sinners as revolters and revolters as sheep. He says, we all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. The question begins, who has believed? Who has believed this? That God was going to redeem his people spiritually. That he was going to raise up a servant. That the servant would be lifted up, but he would be appalled by man. And that the servant would take up our infirmities, carry our sorrows, would be pierced for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. He would bring us peace in our wound. We would be healed by his wounds. Who has believed this? Not that just that Jesus is God's Son and the Savior, but that we, that I am a transgressor, a revolter, a sinner, that I'm sick and I have turned to my own way. And I say, is there any hope for me? Because God's Word says that's who I am. Is there any hope for me? Paul told the Corinthians, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. You see, we cannot be redeemed into heaven with Almighty God physically as our bodies are recycled until our souls are right. Because the Bible states that we are going to be with God eternally. You cannot be with God. You cannot be in the presence of holiness until we are made righteous ourselves. And Corinthians tells us, Paul tells us in Corinthians, that God took our sin and laid it on him so that we might become righteous. Isaiah was saying, God's going to raise up a servant to be lifted up for you and I so that we might be righteous in God's eyes and redeemed spiritually. In Romans 8, Paul said to the Romans, well, I try and do what's right, but I keep on doing the wrong thing. I don't want to do what's wrong, but that's the thing I keep doing. The thing that I want to do, I can't do, so I just keep on sinning. And he says, wretched man that I am. Wretched man that I am. Who's going to rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Paul knew this. Paul knew that he was a revolter. And he knew that Jesus Christ was the only one who could redeem him spiritually. Isaiah says, he took our sins on him. And the hope that you and I have is seen in the willingness of the servant to do this for you and I. He took our sins on him. He died in our place. Listen to this. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he didn't open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is silent, he didn't open his mouth. By oppression and judgment, he was taken away. And who can speak of his descendants? He was cut off from the living. For the transgression of my people, he was stricken. He was killed. He was assigned a grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death. Though he had done no violence, nor was there any deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life a guilt offering, he'll see his offspring and prolong his days. He died in our place willingly. It was the Lord's will. The servant was made a guilt offering for you and I. And through his sacrifice and through his offering, I'm justified. You're justified. The question is, Who has believed this? Because Isaiah tells us after the suffering of his soul, he'll see the light of life and he'll be satisfied. And by his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many and bear their iniquities. Who has believed this? My hope is that what Isaiah tells us, I'll give him a portion among the great. And I'll divide the spoils with the strong. My hope is that I receive some of the spoils of glory because I have believed and have seen God's revealed right arm of Jesus Christ. My hope is that because He poured out His life unto death and was numbered with the transgressors, my hope is that my sin was on Him, that He was counted with me, that He not only died for me, He made intercession for me. He stepped up to the plate. He stepped in between God and me. He bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. In other words, when I stand before Almighty God someday and God says, "What have you to say for yourself, Mike?" Jesus is going to say, "He's mine. He's mine." And God will look at me and see the righteous blood of Jesus Christ on him. Because as many were appalled at him, he sprinkled with the blood of righteousness. And God's going to see how Jesus, our great high priest, sprinkled me, folks, with his righteous blood, so that I might stand before the Lord someday. And God might say, "Enter into my glory." Folks, you gotta believe it if you don't. We gotta tell the world about this. There are people out there who are dying every single day that don't know this or don't believe it. God has revealed His mighty right arm in Jesus Christ. And it's not all about being a pile of old dead empty bottles someday. It's about being living and enjoying peace with Almighty God, our Creator. Because He made that possible for us, for me, for you and I. And that's our hope. That's our hope today and forever. He saved me out of the captivity of sin and death, the oppression, the rebellion and sin that I had in my life, until the day that I turned from my own way and found the great and good shepherd as He called my name and said, "Come on, follow me," and brought me personally back to the promised land. Not only did God redeem Israel physically when Cyrus the Persian king conquered Babylon and allowed the people to go back, God also redeemed His people spiritually and continues day by day by day to redeem His people spiritually when Jesus conquers our lives. But there's a day He's coming back and He's going to stand on Zion in power and glory. And in the twinkling of an eye, He's going to take all those who do believe, to those who have seen the mighty right hand of God revealed and believed, He's going to take them to be with Him. And that will be the last chance. There will be no other chance. That might happen today. That could happen today. That might happen in 5 minutes. The question is, have you believed? Isaiah was warning the people, God's going to allow you to go into captivity. He's going to bring you back physically. But you also need to turn around spiritually. You also need to change and be transformed by the renewing of your mind, as he told the Romans. And that servant that God sent to do that for you and I is truly the man of God's own choosing, who willingly suffered to free His people and divide the spoils of glorious victory over death with all who believe in Him and follow Him. There's a lot of controversy today about Jesus Christ out there in our world. You know, you can go into the common places, you can go into schools, you can go into workplaces. Government officials can stand up, they can talk about Muhammad, they can talk about Buddha, they can talk about all the New Age religions, but the minute they mention Jesus Christ, the minute they mention the name of Jesus, well, they got a controversy on their hands. Why is that? Because the Bible tells us that even though he was lifted up, there are many that are still appalled at him. They do not believe. They will not believe. And his hand of judgment will be upon some, be upon many someday. There's no greater joy than knowing Jesus Christ and the hope that he brings to us. That we're not perfect. His people weren't perfect. He knew that. He knows that. But yet someday we're going to be in that redemption center. Not because our bodies have been recycled, but because our souls have been redeemed. Lord God, I pray today that if there's anyone